Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We come to you from the studios of KHOI in beautiful downtown Ames. We come here once a week to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. Yes, we do. Well, I hope everyone had a jolly and restful Christmas and all of those
things.
And a
full and excessive amount of food.
Oh, well, of course, yeah. Somehow, you know, the Christmas cookies kind of, you know, you just have to kind of have one and then another one. And then there's fudge, Donna.
And then now there's fruitcake.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just endless.
And here we sit complaining that we have bounty to share with one another and sweet thoughts of the holidays. It's nice. Well, this is our final show of 2021. I thought we'd, on this show, the Donalana Kitchen Show, we'll take a look back and a look ahead. We'll look at the year that we've left and also look ahead. We do have a few more days to go in the old year. And we all hope for a better new year. But the holiday season is not over yet. I hear tell that there are 12 days of Christmas, and we're kind of going to look at those. So, Donna, what did you find out? What in the world do they do for all these 12 days?
Well, each one seems to... So Christmas Day is day zero. And then the first day of Christmas, which would be Boxing Day in England, which still makes no sense to us, even though we seem to be adopting it here, especially this year because it was on a Sunday, right?
Okay.
So Boxing Day is St. Stephen's Day or the Day of the Wren. I don't know.
Oh goodness. I learn a lot from old folk songs. Somehow, wrens... Boys used to go around and kill wrens for the sport of it, I guess.
Ooh,
and then,
ouch.
And yeah, I don't know, something about the spirit of the wren. A little boy. Yeah, of course, boys. And then they'd go around caroling about it. Again, a lot of these things we don't understand.
So maybe they had so many wrens.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a plethora we just don't have that many birds anymore.
Day of the Wren. Okay.
It does say, and I'm reading from a book called The Winter Solstice, The 12 Days of Christmas. It does say it is a day for celebrating animals.
But that's a way to celebrate, I tell you.
Okay. So day two, which was yesterday, is Mother Night or St. John's Day. So you're celebrating women and Mother Hola, or the sort of Mother Christmas, the female aspect of Christmas.
About time.
Yeah, and today is day three, which is Holy Innocence Day or Childremas. So it's a day to celebrate children. And this is a gruesome story, of course, but part of the Christmas story is that when King Herod heard that, you know, this very special child who was going to be king of the Jews was born, he promptly went around and had all of the newborn babies killed. So this day is to remind us about protecting and taking care of our children. There also are some really funny things that they used to do where you were supposed to basically beat your children on this day. But it was a symbolic beating with a rosemary or a juniper. And supposedly if you beat them today, they would be good for the rest of the year and they wouldn't have any trouble, right? Or there was another one where the servants would beat their masters.
And with rosemary.
Yeah, with rosemary or juniper boughs. Okay, not very, you know, symbolic, let's say. It says the whole idea seems to have been to show that by expressing individuality and exchanging gentle blows, true anger and aggression might thus be waived for the coming year. Oh. An enlightened notion from which we might well learn today.
Oh, well, all right. But just bringing that to mind. Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes. Okay.
Children. The third day of Christmas. Children's Day. Okay.
Now tomorrow.
Fourth day of Christmas.
That's tomorrow is the Feast of Fools.
Ha ha.
So it's do something foolish tomorrow, or have some friends over and everybody wear silly clothing, or this whole long holiday, in the middle of the winter was, I mean, I started solstice on the 21st because for me that's like, oh, now the days are starting to get longer. We haven't really noticed it yet, but it is happening. It is a reality. And there are lots of different, like Saint Lucia, lots of different things about lights and fires and candles and, all of these things go on because it's so dark.
Ooh.
And we have to remember that in a lot of Europe, they even have less sun than we do here because they're further north than we are. So the days are really, really short, even for us. Then day five is bringing in the boar.
Boar, as in pig.
Pig, yes. This is something very reminiscent of an ancient sacrificial event, perhaps not unconnected with the decoration of carcasses hanging in butcher shops, which only ceased in the last 50 years or so. So this is something about
celebrating the boar's head.
Yeah, yeah.
As you've often said, there's some good things to eat on the boar heads.
Then comes day six.
Oh, day six.
That's, say the word in Scottish, what's it called?
Hogmanay.
Hogmanay. Okay. This is New Year's Eve day. So there are a lot of, London and I were kind of exploring the Scottish side of this ritual, which is based on both the Vikings bringing those traditions to the British Isles and, of course, the Celtic traditions, too. So one of the things that I read about yesterday was when the Presbyterians came along, the Protestant Revolution in Scotland, Presbyterians are very prim, right? So they didn't even want to do Christmas celebrations. So all of the fun and frivolity was basically outlawed. You could be fined for even making Christmas cakes.
Oh.
So they then brought back some of the, not the Presbyterians, but the culture at large, because, everybody has to culturally have a blowout this time of year. So then they started putting it onto Hogmanay, which to this day, apparently, if you're in Edinburgh or Glasgow, there are lots of fire-bearing processions and, thousands
fireworks.
Of people. During COVID, they're obviously shutting some of this down. But it's a largely, public celebration entailing fire, torches, candles.
Yeah.
Probably at this point, iPhones or whatever.
But iPhones or whatever.
Lights,
yes, sir.
Lots and lots of lights. So that is tomorrow. Now, the other thing that is a tradition during the day before the celebration at night is you're supposed to clean out your fireplace and clean up your old house.
Yes, yes.
And all of that sort of thing.
Get rid of the old and get ready for the new.
Right. Was that the day where they brought in the burning branches and kind
yeah,
of,
I think so.
Right. So
you're getting rid of the old
right,
and
you
opening
clean
it
out
up.
Your fireplace and read the ashes in the fireplace.
Rather
like tea leaf reading. That's the prognostication for the year to come, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a specific art form that certain people were good at. Then you clean the whole house. Then you bring in burning branches once again of juniper and kind of smudge the whole house, and then you throw open the windows and let all of the fresh air in.
Ah.
So you get rid of the old and bring in the new, and this is all on the beginning, Hogmanay, which is New Year's Eve.
Well, that's good. That's good.
And lots then at midnight.
Things. Midnight.
Which will begin day seven. There is this other Scottish tradition, which sounded really kind of interesting, called First Footing. So apparently the first person to set foot into the house brings a special blessing and receives a nice dinner. So apparently, they're out celebrating. Then the new year comes in, and of course, what do? They sing. Auld Lang Syne.
Well, of course, which means old times forgotten, more or less, or old times gone, or something
and
like that.
And this is probably, must be the most well-known Scottish song in the world, because we still do it. And it's in Scotland, you cross your hands and hold hands with the person next to you on both sides. And you know, it's "May old friends not be forgotten." It's really about the value of long-term friendships and stuff like that. And Robert Burns wrote the lyrics, and he based it on an old folk tune that he had heard, a fragment of or something like that. So then you sing the song, and then you start visiting friends to try to be the first person to visit their house. Or there was another version of it where it said the father of the house would slip out the back door at midnight, go around, and come in the front door.
Well, that makes sense.
To bring good luck. So out with the old and in with the new, and
that's
all
nice.
Of these, you know, human-controlled, we control our destiny, or at least we're trying to.
Well, actually,
or we're acknowledging it, or something.
It's nice, actually, and it's kind of opening windows and letting the outside in. I'm afraid too much of our past celebrating of New Year's Eve is you hunker up and you drink yourself silly, and that's about it. We kind of forget the outside
world. Well, apparently there was a lot of drinking
these
holidays.
But
anyway,
get a little fresh air in the meantime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, with COVID, it's ventilation, right? So
that is
a really, really good
thing.
And also on New Year's Day, they do recommend the traditional eggnog.
Oh, I like that.
The recipe they're giving is 12 eggs, a cup and a half of sugar, a quart of heavy cream, a quart of milk, and a quart of bourbon. That sounds like a lot.
Well, that'll get you. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that must serves 30. Okay, that's not so. Okay, that's a rather large party. Then New Year's Day.
Right.
Oh, it's Wassail Day. More drinking.
Let's go all the way through the numbers and come back to Wassail. I think it's very important.
Okay, all right. So day seven is, it's the Wassail Day, and the old year is officially dead and laid to rest, and the new year begins in a mood of hopefulness.
Ha.
So that is a blessing of the trees and the animals. So, that's the day they do the mummers' plays.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, the mummers' plays are overtly racist in the Middle Ages anyway, because it was about the Crusades. So they have the Moorish or Arab come in, who is the Dark Knight, and then all these people dancing around in white slay the Black Knight, is slaying good over evil. Very racist, very not culturally appropriate, but ancient history.
They did great costumes anyway.
Yes, they did, and they probably did. So day eight is snow day. I don't know that we're going to have any snow. We might just have ice day.
Well, snow. All right.
When the icicles hang by the wall, and Dick the shepherd blows his nail, and Tom bears logs into the hall, and the milk comes frozen home in the pail. That's from Shakespeare, Love's Labour's Lost.
Okay. Ah.
Yeah.
Snow day.
Nine is Evergreen Day. Why there are evergreens? When the great mystery was creating all the trees and plants, he wanted to give a gift to each of them, but he could not decide which gift was appropriate to which tree, and so he held a contest to find out. He told the young trees he wanted them all to keep watch over the earth for 7 days and seven nights. The trees were very excited to be given such an important task, and for the first night they had no difficulty staying awake. But the second night it was harder, and some of them fell asleep. By the third night, even more were unable to remain awake. Even though they whispered to themselves for hours, on the fourth night even more fell asleep. Finally, by the seventh night, only a handful were still awake. The pine, the cedar, the spruce, the fir, the holly, and the laurel. What great endurance you all have, cried the great mystery. To you I shall give the gift of remaining green forever. You shall guard the forest, even in the dead of winter, when all your brothers and sisters are sleeping.
Well, that's nice.
That's day nine.
That's a nice thought.
Yeah, well, we do appreciate the evergreens, especially in the winter. Day 10, St. Distaff's Day. That's sort of when you go back to work a little bit. But it's still a holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. Oh,
a distaff is part of the spinning wool process. So.
Oh, right. You have to go back to the spinning. So it says, yeah. Partly work and partly play, ye must on St. Distaff's Day.
Okay. I like that. Ease back into it. They're not dumb. They know what to do. Okay.
11. Oh, now, here, this is more familiar. The Feast of the Epiphany.
Uh-huh.
The Festival of the Three Kings. This is the morn I met the train of the three great kings of the East. This is the morn I met the train of the kings on the wide high road. So apparently they're arriving on the 11th day.
I always figured Epiphany celebrated the days when those three kings finally broke down and asked directions.
You mean the star wasn't enough?
Yeah, well, what do they know?
It was a little imprecise, perhaps.
Right. Yeah, they didn't have GPS or anything. But anyway, they finally made it, so good for them.
Yes, and it's a day of considering your gifts, right? Because the kings were bearing gifts, right?
Gifts.
Okay, then the 12th day of Christmas, which is January 6th, I believe. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is the day in many, Eastern Orthodox, that is their real Christmas day. And it is, it's also called the 12th night, when all the decorations come down and are consigned to the fire. That would be if your decorations consists of a lot of, like the Christmas tree is real and the evergreens are getting a little flaky and falling all over the house, that
good
sort
idea.
Of thing.
It probably wouldn't work with all those blow up outside Snoopies. And,
No.
And
don't
no.
burn the plastic. Okay, okay. Just burn the evergreens that you've used to. And I have experienced this because I've been in France. It's called, I think it's also called a King's Day or something, but you have a cake. And in the cake somewhere is either a baby Jesus or a little crown or some tiny, tiny thing. And the person who gets the piece with that in it is the lucky person or
if
something.
If they don't break their tooth.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But there is especially, there is a 12th night cake that is in a lot of cultures. Oh, and this is a fun one. We could all do this. It's a game.
Oh, this is good.
Snap Dragon. So this is for the 12th night. So this will be January 6th. I have done this. You fill a large, shallow dish with raisins, not too small, and you pour brandy over them. Then you turn out all the lights in the house, and you set the dish on fire. And then you have to go to each person, has to pick a raisin out of the burning brandy and snatch it right from the flames and put the raisin in your mouth and make a wish. It will be granted in the next 12 months.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's pretty impressive, and children really like it. I mean, adults like it too. It's a fun thing because, you think of sticking your hand in the fire, but the truth is brandy burns at a really, you don't want to stick it in there and leave it. You got to snatch it fast, but it doesn't burn you because the brandy burns at such a low temperature. Now, get the chief stuff.
Okay.
Don't spend a lot of money on this brandy that you're burning, but it's a fun kind of family game.
Oh,
it's called Snapdragon.
Another one of those. Good wishes for the new year.
Yeah.
And again, fire. And again, celebrate the cold winter and look forward to the new. Let's go back to Hagamani and
And the wassail.
And the wassail. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about wassail.
So New Year's Day, there's Hopping John. That's a very American tradition, right? Which is what? Black-eyed peas? Or something?
Yes.
Is that for good luck?
Black-eyed peas. Because it's sort of like many peas, many coins, wish you riches for the new year. So black-eyed peas and ham, or black-eyed peas and something, or you could make a vegetarian
version. Well, I got the
version.
Christmas ham bone left over to ham make
bones,
the black-eyed
yeah,
peas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And it, New it, Year's it, Day yeah. also is wassail. Now, wassail, I suppose it would depend on if it's a German tradition. Or French, where they would use wine, like a spiced mulled wine, or a British tradition would be an apple cider,
mm-hmm.
because it was the cider and ale, or ale. So the British Isles are an ale and cider culture, Mm-hmm. And then Europe has the wines. But it's a spiced or mulled, slightly alcoholic beverage. And then you're supposed to drink some, heat it up with more fruits in it, apples, lots mm-hmm. of apples. And then you're supposed to go and pour some onto the trees, particularly the apple trees for fertility.
Good time to be thinking about your apple orchard.
It's a blessing. It's yeah. a making a blessing. And if you have, it says if you have animals, you should put a sprinkle a little on the animals and, you know, and everybody should have a little taste.
Oh, good.
And,
get your sheep all sticky. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. yeah. Well, just a little
okay,
one.
Okay.
You know,
right.
it's ceremonial, like a sprinkling, like a baptism, a blessing,
okay, okay.
you know.
Yeah.
But the wassail, this is New Year's Day. I think it's kind of like count your blessings, which is a good idea. And also for you know, New Year's cocktails, probably you've already had enough New Year's Eve and you don't really want to drink that much on New Year's Day in the middle of the day, but it's a blessing, uh-huh. you know.
And a reminder how important cider trees were to cultures. And, well, we consume a lot of beer and cider and things and wine this time of year. Go out and even though that stuff is dormant now, more or less, this time of year, a suggestion to sprinkle a little bit of the wassail around the base of an apple tree or maybe on the vines out there. Just kind of remember they're out there in the snow and hope for a good spring.
Well,
and
you
a good,
can yeah. sprinkle your garden.
Sprinkle the garden. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. I like that. Oh, yes. And I remember saying the word huzzah a few times is always
good. Oh, right,
good.
Right. What was it? You're supposed to sprinkle and say huzzah, huzzah, huzzah. Was it three huzzahs?
A word not used much here in the Midwest, but maybe we should use that. I like that.
Yes, huzzah, three times as loudly as you can.
That'll get
yeah,
the blood
that's
flowing.
That's the wassail ceremony. Okay.
That's good. That's good. I like that. I like it. That wassail, it's such a, you hear, there's Christmas carols that have wassail
mm-hmm,
in it,
mm-hmm.
and it's nice. We remember the trees and what sustains us. 12 days of Christmas. See, we can keep on. We can keep on.
Right. We're not done with Christmas yet.
We are not done, and it's an important time of the year.
Yeah, might as well party now because we've got January, February, and March in front of us. So,
thank you, Donna. However, 'tis a good way to spend these rather dark days, but it is a good way. And remember that people have been doing this for a long time, gathering, lighting fires, eating, blessing each other. It's a fine way to spend your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, thanks for sharing about the 12 days of Christmas. The Partridge in the Pear Tree song, that's kind of maybe part of it too, but that really, I didn't run across any partridge in this 12 days of Christmas. I guess that's just, it isn't a pear tree, however, a tree.
Yeah.
So there
so
we
you
go.
So you can sprinkle the wassail around the pear tree too.
Very good. Very good. Well, this is KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back, and happy end to the old year, and happy hello to the new year. We're going to be talking, we have been talking about the 12 days of Christmas, and yes, people surely did know how to party, and I think we can do that too.
And Christmas isn't over yet.
Christmas is not over yet. We have many days to go. Matter of fact, this is just the Day of the Children, if you are counting up, and tomorrow is the Feast of the Fools, so have at it, folks. And there's much more to come. Yes, yes. Also, this whole, as Donna mentioned, this whole thing starts with the shortest day of the year, solstice. And I just want to report that I've been kind of watching the weather, which has been unseasonably warm, but of course today we have things cold and unpleasant. But when the clouds are not above the sky, the night sky in December is absolutely gorgeous. Matter of fact, Christmas Eve was clear, was cold, the stars were lovely, and I wish to report that the constellation Orion was exactly where it was supposed to be, so all is right.
Thank heavens.
It is. He's up there. That big square domino-shaped guy is up there. And the winter sky looks beautiful this time of the year, in between the clouds, of course. Well, Donna, we were talking about winter holidays and fish traditions.
Well, I did this, and I often do this for solstice, along with having everything in my home candle lit and lamp lit. That's one. You know, we should do it more often. It is beautiful, and it's really, it's fun and kind of a change of pace. But so on the solstice, which was on the 21st this year, I shut off all the electric lights, and we had oysters. And there is a tradition in Provence that I think it's Christmas Eve. You have seven fishes or seven kinds of fish. Of course, Provence is right on the Mediterranean. So in Iowa, it's a big deal to have fish. It's got to come from far away. Like, we get our oysters.
Do we even have a choice of seven fishes here in Iowa? Maybe, if we
Well,
looked.
There's bluegill, there's crappie, there's
walleye, if you go north.
Walleye.
And there's the Mississippi River fish that you turn your nose up at. There's probably seven.
The muddy Mississippi fish. But those are not the ones I like. So we did order oysters to be sent overnight from Massachusetts, from Duxbury Bay. And we've done this for a number of years. It is a big treat, and it's lots of fun. And you got to open them yourselves. Uh-huh. So I have a couple of friends who are, I call them really good shuckers. They are good oyster shuckers. It is quite a trick to pry those little guys open. But it is a delicious treat. For special once a year. And then I also, for those that do not like to eat live oysters, and there are many here in Iowa, I also made a fish chowder. I just did a traditional New England kind of chowder, which is a potato-based with usually something for color. Could be carrots. I actually chopped up some red and yellow peppers just for fun. And you cook it with onions. Not really garlic. I put maybe a tiny, tiny bit of garlic in because this is not a garlic thing. Onions. And you cook it till the potatoes are like really soft and mushy. And, then you can add. This year I added some canned clam juice to give it more fish flavor. And a little Thai fish sauce, which is basically just anchovies and salt, right? And then for the herbs, I used dried lovage from my garden. Mm-hmm. Which is a celery flavor, because celery is a kind of a tradition. You do put some celery as a vegetable. And then I did this is something I'm going to do next year. During the season when we were busy preserving the very end of the garden stuff, I came across a methodology for preserving herbs that I had not tried and thought, okay, I'm going to do this year. So I had a big bunch of lemon thyme, like basketball size, right? Ah. A big bunch at the end of the year. And, if you don't do something with it, it's gone because it will freeze. So I picked every little thyme leaf off, and those are small because you don't want the branches. So I picked it all off, and then you put it in a jar with coarse salt. Huh. And then keep it in the fridge. Now, it's not going to keep forever, but I did that in when? September, and I'm still using it. Ah. So I put some of that time into the chowder. So I had two things from my garden into the chowder, and then I just used some frozen codfish. Now, you kind of make the chowder with the potatoes and the cream and the milk. And I did start it with frying some bacon.
Oh, well.
So
yeah.
You have bacon grease to fry the onions in, right? Anyway, so you make this whole soupy mixture, and then you put the chowder, the fish, in at the last minute because it will cook quickly and it will flake off. So you don't want to, like, cook the fish and cook the fish and cook the fish. You just put it at the end. And it was delicious.
It was fantastic. Did you mash the potatoes?
Yeah, once they were soft. Well,
because this is a creamy.
Yeah,
so it was a lumpy.
I sort of smashed them. I didn't really mash them. It depends on what kind of. I used Yukon Golds, which do not mash as much. If I had used russets, they kind of fall apart on their own. So, you know, depends on if it needs a little help or not. And actually, because I used Yukon Gold, the broth was not as thick as it would have been if I'd used russets, which thicken on their own. So I actually, at the end, stirred in a little cornstarch because you want that chowdery viscosity. You know?
It was lovely.
Yeah, it was good, and it was really easy to make. In fact, I have some leftover Christmas mashed potatoes and rutabaga. I think I'm going to add milk and throw in some more codfish and have another fish chowder tonight.
It was a real good treat. I mean, I ate my share of oysters, too. And, yes, I'm so proud of myself. This Midwestern girl has learned how to shuck an oyster, and I have done it without. it is very possible to take that little oyster knife and just jam it into your hand. I mean, it's possible. So you wrap up the oyster in a towel before you start whacking away at it. I have learned, what a sense of accomplishment. It's kind of like riding a bicycle.
Yeah, it's
one of my
skills.
Like,
yeah, maybe you could almost be a New Englander or something.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Us little Midwestern gals, we can learn new tricks.
We can learn new things. Good, good. Well, that sounds, eating fish chowder through all these cold gray nights sounds really good. But let's think ahead to New Year's Eve and think about some suggestions for food and drink.
Well, you know, it's obviously another party night, although I must say mine's going to be very low-key this year. I'm ready to, like.
You've cooked for Christmas,
right,
and cooked for Christmas.
Stay home and be calm. You know, plus we got all these COVID considerations, so we got to be careful. However, instead of champagne this year, which is, you know, the traditional everywhere, I'm going to drink sparkling hard cider.
Oh, well,
I want to. You know, we have several. This is something that is. We are getting more and more in the Midwest back into growing. Now you have to know that cider apples are not the same as eating apples. Cider apples actually don't taste very good when you eat them, and there are lots of varieties. And these we're planting in the Midwest. There are more and more people planting this because people are starting to drink hard cider again. Sutliff cider, I think, is in Iowa, or at least it's very Midwestern. That one has been around 15 or 20 years, quite good. You know, you pop the bottle open, it's just like champagne. There's also Wilson Orchard, and I think we're going to do a show with them maybe in February. Or Deals, which is fairly local, as now making hard cider, and that's pretty much available in all the stores around town. There is a lot of hard cider available. Even most of the local restaurants and bars are now selling hard cider, and I would point you in the direction of trying that because it is an Iowa local product, and some of it's pretty darn good. It's not sweet, although some of them do, like Deals has some fruit-flavored ones, although I prefer the real traditional, you know, with a little bite to it. Now, there is, you know, when I was growing up, everybody was Johnny Appleseed, and the story of him apparently he was going around planting cider apple seeds.
Uh-huh.
Because in that period of the colonialization, one of the things that people could grow and then ferment and then sell because it had a shelf life, it was a way of preserving, was hard cider. So that was something that a farmer could grow and plant and produce that produced a little off-farm income. So there were periods in the American colonies where cider was a big deal.
Right. And also the water maybe was a bit iffy.
Well, and also cider is easier to make. It doesn't require distillation, whereas grain and that requires a certain amount of, you know, with the cider, if you have the right apples, you mechanically press it, you put it in the bottles, and time does its magic.
Yes.
There you go.
So thank goodness for Johnny Appleseed. The fact that he was planting all those apple trees, or somebody, however they got dispersed, is good, because actually the native apple, there's only very, very few, maybe one or two varieties of native apples here that I've read in the Americas, and those weren't all that darn good. So a lot of the apple stock comes from Europe, particularly originally from Eastern Europe. Around the Caspian Sea is where apples...
Well, that's where they started, but I think a lot of the colonial stuff was brought from England, which also has a long apple and apple cider tradition and continues still to have a lot of those good old varieties came from England. And so, thank you. And Iowa is a very good place to grow apples.
Very good. So, tip back one for New Year's Eve, and that's good. That's good. I wish to kind of revisit a recipe. For last week on the Donna Lana Kitchen, we did an archive show featuring cookies. And cookies are one of my favorite things for Christmas. And for years, I've always liked to do a white cookie and decorate those. Those are nice. But I've been kind of looking for a recipe.
Lana, the graphic artist.
You got to draw.
The cookies are just a palette for her to draw.
Yeah, the heck with it.
So
the heck
pretty.
With what it tastes like. No, I was really trying to look for. Now, those always turn out well. I like those. Those are good. But I've been trying to look for a ginger cutout cookie just to see, so I could have a different color palette to draw on, have a dark, dark cookie. And in the past, I've found a dark cookie, a ginger molasses kind of cookie, and either they were way too soft, mushy, they didn't hold together very well, or they were hard as rocks, and I suppose they'd make really good decorations on the tree. I mean, they were a little cut out.
Which is fine. Right.
But I was looking for something that would actually taste good. So I went to an old recipe book of my grandmother's. She collected this collection of recipes, and one of them was a cookie book recipe, little books, and they all got put together in it's called the Encyclopedia of Cooking in 24 Volumes, copyright 1958, by the Culinary Arts Institute. So, and it had, I suppose you got one a month or one of something. Anyway, there are 24 little books all put together in a big binder, and the book number 17 is cookies, and I found many nice old recipes in there. And this one is called the Stone Jar Ginger Cutout Cookies, huh? And actually, if I was going to do cutout cookies any time of the year, not necessarily reindeers and stars, but I could do some hearts too, maybe. Stone Jar Ginger Cutout Cookies. 3/4 cup shortening, 1.5 cup molasses, 5 tablespoons boiling water. No eggs in this. I don't know why. 4 cups flour, 2 teaspoons baking soda, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 2 teaspoons ginger, and I added a bit more. 1 teaspoon cinnamon, and I added a little bit more because I like things really spicy. And that was it. Cream all the stuff together, the molasses, water, and the shortening, add the dry ingredients. And then this sticky, dark color smelling stuff that is really nice, you will leave it in the refrigerator overnight because it's kind of hard to deal with. And then using more flour, you roll out and cut into shapes, bake, and bake about 12 minutes at 375. Don't let it burn because these cookies are already dark brown. You got to kind of watch them.
Oh, right. You can't judge by the color.
Huh, so you learn something every day. So that is the Stone Jar Ginger Cutout Cookie recipe, something I learned in the old year.
Yeah, this is from, Lana and I both have these good German grandmothers. Nachtigall, Grandma yeah. Nachtigall, and mine is Grandma Baumgartner. Oh. Now, I made her plum pudding this year. Now, on our recipe list on the KHOI recipe pull down is Grandma Baumgartner's plum pudding.
And a dandy it is.
And I hadn't made it for 10 years, and I made it again this year, and I don't know why I don't make it every year. It is delicious. And you don't need to make it for Christmas, but you can. But the recipe is already on the website, and you do steam it for 3 hours.
Yes, you do.
And this year, I actually put, my grandmother called it a suet pudding, and hers only had raisins in it. But I went a little further, and I put, I took some dried prunes, and I soaked them for a week in a triple sec to soften them up and cut them into little pieces. And I used some dried cherries. And, of course, I made a hard sauce with it. So that was my tribute to my ancestors.
Ha! And Merry Christmas to us. Very good, very good. You're listening to KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more at khoifm.org. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was the Barnall Band playing a jig called Banish Misfortune, and that's something we can all wish each other this time of the year, but it's hard to say that. Banish misfortune, practice it. Yes, it is. Very good. Well, I said this is a time to look back and look ahead, and a lot of news agencies and things on the internet and on the news.
Lists.
They
lots list. Of lists.
They do lists. They do lists. And all people that have passed over the past year and things we've accomplished and not. I wanted to, this is a little bit from our news department here, the Donna Lana Kitchen News Department. And I wanted to remind us that things are not all rosy, and there are 10 imperiled species that are hanging on by a thread caused by climate change. And this has been going on for a while, but in this past year, we're becoming desperately in need of hanging on to these creatures. There are 8 animals and 2 plants on this list. The diamondback terrapin, the elkhorn coral, Florida key deer, the Maui parrotbill, the Mexican long-nosed bat, the monarch butterfly that kind of comes and goes, so watch
that's
the monarch.
That's an Iowa thing. Uh-huh.
The Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog and the western ridged mussel. Those are hanging on. Think about those folks, okay? And then we have 2 plants that are going extinct due to extreme weather. And one is, I can't even pronounce it. It must be on a Pacific island. The Kapalopalo acanaloa. Whatever that is, we're going to miss you. And the white bark pine.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
That's half of Colorado.
Yes, it is. That is a big deal. So we're thinking about these things that we are losing.
Well, and was it yesterday or the day before? The day before. E.O. Wilson died. Okay. He invented sociobiology, which is talks about, oh, it's quite the concept that nurturing is it happens in all the species and that sort of thing, and that some of it is hereditary. Very controversial, but E.O. Wilson also was kind of the champion of endangered species. There is, if you have access to it, the New York Times did a 10-minute interview of him from about 10 years ago where he kind of, you get to see what a great guy he was. He's the one that had suggested that large swaths of the earth need to be preserved because we are losing so many species. And oh, he won Pulitzer Prize. He won every prize you can in science. He considered himself the second Darwin, picking up where Darwin left off and carrying on in that tradition of understanding the biosphere. So we lost him this week. E.O. Wilson.
Along with everything else, there's some bummer news there, but there's some good news. There's some more news items anyway. Iowans buy record amount of alcohol in 2021. I don't know if that's good or bad, but
I think we probably bought a record number of guns, too. So alcohol and guns do not mix. Just a reminder to everyone.
Well, that's not
good. It's like alcohol and driving. Be very careful.
Be careful out there. Huh? And here's another supposedly good thing. The holiday sales rise. Despite all our whining about all of our Christmas presents being stuck off the coast of California in those shipping vessels, we seem to be doing just fine. Holiday sales rose at the fastest pace in 17 years. All kinds of spending, even if we did it more on the Internet now. So, yeah.
I also want to note that although this is not a statistic that I can quote, it has been my practical experience. The mail was slower than ever.
Oh.
If you got your Christmas presents late, you were not the only ones.
So consider that part of the 12 days of Christmas. Late mail. But a bright spot. Unions seem to be taking a hold, and I'm unabashedly saying, I am all for unions.
Bravo for the working person.
Starbucks, Kellogg's, the big cereal.
Yeah, they just had a big settlement. And John Deere here in our backyard, practically.
Right. So let's think about that. People that work hard for a living.
Nothing wrong with paying the workers a little bit more, right?
Right. It seems we forget. We're all kind of on that end of things. Let's be nice to one another. Also, more news. We have something to celebrate here. KHOI is moving into a new home, a real home, a house.
Our very own home.
So that's something to look forward to in the new year. And thanks to everybody whose donation support made that happen. And we'll keep you updated on our move. We're going to be right down the street. So we're still two blocks
north of where we are now.
Very good. We don't have to carry things too far at all. Good. I want to kind of look back at some of the good people we've had on the Donald in the Kitchen the past year. We talked about all sorts of things. Some of the people that we've talked to, Sharon Stewart, Rob Foe, Helen Gunderson, Jessica Krupika, Steve Cannon, Jackson and Sarah Kimley. They are growing shrimp here in Iowa, believe it or not, shrimp. Bernie White and Don Wishart with the Food at First organization here. Dr. Cornelia Flora. Carol Horowitz joined us too. Ben Hoksh, Mary Swander, Kevin Dietzel. Via his...
Our local... Blessed are the cheesemakers.
Blessed are the cheesemakers. And considering we were doing a smartphone connection with him, there was a calf born on
live
air.
Live on air.
Live on air. Yes, it was. We saw the whole thing. Oh, very good. We talked to Levi Lyle, who has an orchard. We talked to Maggie Norton about drought and climate. Kate Sloco talked about the local CSA situation, her farm, Root to Rise Farm, here in Iowa. Kate Gilbert, Andrea Riesling, Nick Odie. He did a film called Livestock on the Land this year. We talked to Luke Grant about trees. Beth Hoffman with her new book. Carolyn Rafsenberger joined us a few times. Yes, he did. And we talked about cookies in a Christmas archive with Becky Ringsby, and we want to thank all those people for helping us
air. All our local friends making this radio show possible.
Right. And we've been doing this for 7 years now, Donna. We started out with Christmas cookies 7 years ago, and we haven't stopped yet.
We're 7 years older and 7 years wiser. There you
and
go.
Deeper in debt. Okay, never mind. Okay. And it's not like we do try to be a little bit mindful about why we do this show.
Well, Lon and I, and I'll speak for both of us, first of all, we care very much about health and food and nutrition and having good food, the pleasures of good food, the pleasures of good health, and the pleasures of a healthy environment. So our show is really dedicated to all our community and all of our listeners who want more information about where their food is coming from, how to cook it. We want to hopefully inspire you to cook a little more, or try new things, and to learn about, you know, the farmers growing the food, the things that are involved in agriculture and food systems. And we kind of bring it all here just with one little show, encouraging you to cook and to know where your food comes from and what the benefits of good, healthy food are for you and for all of us.
It's something we can't really emphasize enough. That there's so many ways to eat fast and eat poorly and eat cheap, but it just kind of catches up to you eventually, and so
I mean, the worlds of, as a chef, I like to talk about upstream and downstream. So the upstream is, where is the food coming from? So you need to know about agriculture and food systems, and then you need to know the waste streams, what you're creating in terms of like nitrogen fertilizer around. And you also need to understand nutrition, because what you are, what you eat, as they say, right?
I think so,
and it
too.
Is a eating is a lifelong thing, and the accumulative values of what you are eating build your health for long term.
Right.
And so eat good food
and enjoy life. Yes. Oh, I've heard that before. Also, thinking of, I don't know if anybody makes New Year's resolutions or keeps them or anything, but
we can try.
Eating good food is not one of your onerous thing to do. I mean, think about supporting a local farmer. Think about buying local. Think about eating. Think about cooking yourself.
Just remember, there's no such thing as eating too many vegetables.
We can do
that. That's my number one dietary rule, right?
Very good. That's true. And there's so many that we can enjoy. I'm going to take some time to thank people here, because I want to thank you, the listener, for one thing. We exist in your ears, and we hope you put us in your heart if we're in your ears, because this is a community radio station. And your good graces, good thoughts, and your donations help make this station work. Community radio is kind of like nothing other. We are not owned by a big corporation. We are owned by us. We are a big, but community-supported radio station. And we appreciate you letting us into your kitchens and into your hearts over these past few years. And we'll be here for a while in the future, yet we're thinking about shows for the new year. So that's good. That's good. And we want to thank KHOI for helping Donna and I do this. We're not radio people, but we're getting there. We're getting there. And thanks to Mike Murphy, our ever-present and very good engineer. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You had music today by the Barn Owl Band. And we'll go out with Elizabeth Zimmerman, a local musician and song person. Support this fine radio station. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisquintas.
Engineering by Mike Murphy. Happy New Year.
Eat good food and enjoy life.
Very good.